Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Nice to see you again, Brian. Pointing at me. What are you pointing at
me? Well, you got to say who you are.
Oh, this is Shane Vanderhart. Yes. I would suspect everybody knows that by now.
Oh, okay.
You know, tens of listeners.
Yes, and I'm Brian Myers, comical sidekick.
Okay. Interesting. So, you celebrated your anniversary.
I did.
On April Fool's Day.
I did. I really did get married on April Fool's Day 37 years ago.
So, I'm kind of curious, what went into that decision for that date?
Well, you know me. It did have something to do with my warped sense of humor.
And Debbie went along with this?
Well, she did, but she made me promise that you know, I wouldn't, you know, pull any shenanigans after the fact, and I didn't, but the hilarious thing is,
you should have though.
10 years ago, my oldest son, he did the same thing.
Really?
He and his wife got married on April Fool's Day. So it's kind of turned into a bit of a family tradition.
But. Cool.
So what happened with you?
Well, I celebrated an anniversary of sorts too. I literally became a fool for Christ on April Fool's Day. I was 23 years ago. I was at Drake University in my dorm room. Cheryl had been missionary dating me, and I told kids when I was
missionary dating.
Yes. I tell my own kids, and I've told kids when, you know, I was a youth pastor that don't you follow this example, but God used this in my life, because I saw just different things happen that, I mean, I'd already heard the truth of the gospel, and I got to see what impact it made in the life in Cheryl's life through different trying circumstances she went through. Her mom was hit by a car, was in a coma. She had a grandmother pass away. She also was struggling with mono and doing all this with this peace. And I, you know, I'm thinking now, I know Philippians 4, 6, and 7, you know, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and thanksgiving, give your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That was going on in her life. I knew I would have been a wreck had that been going on in my life. And that maybe that finally, again, I had heard this. Cheryl and I had talked about this, and it just suddenly, it's like the Holy Spirit, it clicked one night in the middle of the night, and I couldn't sleep. And I knew I had to ask Jesus into my life. And I told her that, you know, I told Cheryl the next morning. I think she thought it was an April Fool's Day joke.
But you remember that it was on April 1st.
It was April 1st. I remember that vividly. 1992. Wow. Yeah.
Well, that is cool, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, literally became a fool for Christ. So it's a special day for me, too.
Okay. So we each have, in our own way, we have each of us have an anniversary on April 1st. But okay. Anyway, I suppose we should move on to our special guest that we've got on our VIP line.
Yes, definitely. Okay. I'll let you introduce him.
All right. Yeah. On our VIP line today, we have with us Dr. Roy Spencer. Dr. Spencer is a climatologist. He's the principal research scientist at the University of Alabama in Huntsville and the U.S. science team leader for the Advanced Microwave Scanning Radiometer on NASA's Aqua satellite. He has served as senior scientist for climate studies at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center, and we're privileged to have him on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio this morning. Good morning, Dr. Spencer.
Good morning, guys. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you know, you could have just introduced him as a really smart guy.
Well, but we have lots of smart guys on here.
That's true.
It's not you and me, but we frequently have smart guys on here.
We bring on these guests to elevate the IQ level.
Which, of course, doesn't take very much.
Right.
Okay, Dr. Spencer, you just this past week, I guess, celebrated an anniversary of your own of sorts. Tell us what happened 25 years ago.
Well, we didn't realize it until a month or so ago, but we were coming up on our 25th anniversary of announcing a new way to monitor global temperatures from satellites. We had a press conference 25 years ago this past Sunday. It was a NASA press conference, and it was picked up by the media around the world. I mean, Jay Leno joked about it on The Tonight Show, and Joan London, if you remember her from Good Morning America. Yeah, she talked about it, and it was pretty cool. And we had no idea at the time that this data set that we're now, you know, we've been maintaining and updating every month since then would become sort of the centerpiece of global warming skepticism.
Well, let me ask you this. Do I understand that you guys actually won some awards for that work that you did?
Yeah, we got an award from the American Meteorological Society for that. Also, the NASA's Exceptional Scientific Achievement Medal.
Okay. So, you guys do this research. This is you and Dr. Christie, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and you guys do this research. You announce this to the world. And how long was it? I mean, and it's award-winning research. How long was it before you guys realized that you were maybe in some trouble?
Well,
if I could put it that way.
I guess, you know, that realization didn't come suddenly. It's just sort of been growing over the years.
you mean kind of like some sort of nasty cancer?
Well, there've been bumps along the road, you know. There was another research group, friends of ours out in California, that tried to duplicate what we did, and they found something that we needed to take into account, which we immediately did. And now this many years later, so they came along and they made their own satellite data set, you know, try to, you know, independently verify what we did, and they do things a little differently. And what's kind of amusing is that the skeptics now follow their data set more than ours, which is a sort of a source of annoyance for them, because they're sort of on the other side of this. They're like, well, yeah, you know, global warming is a really serious problem, even though we really can't see any in the last 17 years from the data, but it's still a really bad problem.
Right. So when the skeptics look at their data, they say, well, thanks, but no thanks, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So are there people, let me just ask you this. Why? I was going to ask you R, but I'm going to ask you why. Why are many scientists clinging to surface thermometer measurements, in your opinion, as opposed to looking more closely at the satellite data?
Well, gee, there's all kinds of answers to that, and they mostly don't have anything to do with science. I've always believed that people, you know, if they have a need to worship something, they're going to worship either the creation or the creator. And the scientific community in general worships the creation. I mean, you know, a lot of these people, earth scientists, they consider the earth to be fragile. This is sort of a basic worldview that everyone has. Do you believe the earth is resilient? Or do you believe it's fragile? And most of the researchers that work in the earth science community believe it's fragile, and therefore they're going to latch, if there's disagreement between different data sources, they're going to go with the data source with which supports their preconceived notions.
Right.
So they go with the surface thermometer data because they believe, you know, the earth is warming up rapidly, maybe even dangerously, that it's our fault, that we need to do something about it. So, you know, while they pretend to be objective scientists, they're really not. Like I tell people, there's only two kinds of scientists, male and female.
All right. Well, with respect to the surface thermometer data, am I right in, because I seem to remember reading this somewhere, that even if you cling to the surface thermometer measurements, that it's still not lining up with the with the computer models. Is that correct?
Exactly. That's a major point, is even if you use the surface thermometer data as gospel truth, it is still only warmed at a rate half of what the climate models predict, or I should say hindcast, not predict, but they're actually using the models to explain past temperatures, and they still can't explain the fact that temperatures have only increased at half the rate that the models expect. Now, why is that important? It's because the climate models are what are used as a basis for energy policy. And they continue to say that they think the models will eventually be proved correct, which means, you know, warming has got to start going gangbusters sometime in the near future if it's right. ever going to catch up to what these models are predicting.
That's a lot of faith they're putting in these models.
Exactly. That's right.
Amazing. So, yeah, I occasionally make a good point now again. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and you're listening to Dr. Roy Spencer, as well as Shane Van Hart and Brian Myers.
Oh, really? We're here, too. I saw something that John Christie had said in an interview, and I when I saw this, I couldn't hardly believe it. Did the vice president actually say that you and John Christie don't believe in gravity? Did the vice president actually say that?
That's just Joe.
A crazy old Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe. Brilliant climate scientist that he is.
Yeah, flat earthers, all of that. Yeah, that's what we get called, which is kind of ironic because at least two of the guys that have walked on the moon are on our side. I mean, I was at
a
meeting.
Yeah, but what do they know?
Yeah, they must have thought that the Earth was just like a flat disc hanging out there in space.
Right. Oh, goodness. Man. Now, do I understand that you guys just... Well, I take that back. This isn't Dr. Christie now. This is Dr. Spencer and Dr. Braswell in 2011 published a paper with regard to, I guess the name of the paper is Remote Sensing. Tell us a little bit about that paper.
Yeah, we had a series of papers that had to do with it's, you know, the reason why these climate models warm so much is because if you nudge them a little bit, say by adding carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, which we agree adds some warming, they believe that other things in the climate system, especially clouds, change in such a way to amplify the warming. So we've had a series of papers which address that issue. Do clouds in the climate system amplify a warming tendency, or do they reduce it? And we showed that the data can be explained in such a way that actually you could go either way. And we were just trying to point out that there's this dichotomy that you can't tell when you're comparing temperatures and clouds in the climate system, you can't tell whether cloud changes are causing temperature changes or temperature changes are causing cloud changes. Probably both are going on, and it ends up confounding our ability to answer the question of whether clouds amplify climate change or reduce climate change. So again, it comes down to faith. Which do you believe? Mm-hmm. And the other side, the scientists on the other side of the issue from us believe that it goes in such a way to support their case. And we're just trying to point out, look, you're just assuming something from your data analysis, and if you assume something else, you can get a totally an opposite conclusion. Well, anyway, when we published that paper, there was outrage from a couple of influential scientists in the scientific community who forced the editor of that journal that we published the paper in, to resign, which was just amazing.
Wow. Kind of love the, you know, freedom
now,
of...
Now, they never retracted the paper,
huh.
Okay? It was like shaming the editor into publishing anything that might hurt their side of the case.
This is very much like the kind of stuff that you read about that went on in the Middle Ages.
Right.
It's just crazy stuff.
It amazes me how there's suddenly no debate can really be had because the other side's shouting you down, and they're keeping you from... you know, publishing and, you know, how can you have a peer reviewed article if they never allow you to publish anything? You know,
When that happened, it's interesting. When that happened, when somebody pressured this editor to resign from that scientific publication, there was a physicist that commented, in nuclear physics or particle physics, like the stuff that Sheldon and Leonard do on Big Bang Theory, mm-hmm. When we have big disagreements over different theories, but nobody gets punished for it or, ostracized for it. It's healthy scientific debate.
Right.
He says, what's wrong with you earth scientists? Well, like I said, it has something to do with faith and politics and money and very little to do with science in our field.
Definitely. That's what it seems like. And it's just amazing how those who dissent are just, trying to crowd out of the picture or diminish those who have an alternative view, saying, oh, well, they're not real scientists. Obviously, you're a real scientist, right?
Well, I play one.
Okay. I think you got the academic pedigree that makes you a real scientist, at least in my book. I mean, I don't know that many of you guys. And
We got just a minute left, Dr. Spencer. One of the things that I probably should have brought up earlier, I definitely want to get out there, because it drives me crazy when somebody says, do you believe in climate change? So I'll just ask you that question. Dr. Spencer, do you believe in climate change?
Well, of course. All of us skeptics believe in climate change.
No!
We just don't believe we know with any certainty how much of it is caused by humans.
Well, is there such a thing as anthropogenic global warming?
I think given the knowledge that we have, humans must have some influence. We just don't know how much. It's probably in the warming direction, and it's probably small, and I would wager it's beneficial.
Dr. Spencer, thank you very much for coming on the show with us. We're out of time. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we'll be back.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
You can't believe you messed up so badly. You have asked God to forgive you, but can you forgive yourself? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Kicking yourself for your past sins will not give you the peace you want. The more you dwell on it, the more hopeless your situation will seem. God says that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Having a clean slate should fill a heart with joy. But why do some people hang on to their guilt? Some reasons are a personal lack of victory over sin, pride, bitterness, as well as ignorance of God's teaching on forgiveness. Learning what allows guilt to hang around is critical to applying God's solution for internal peace and joy. We would love to help you experience that. Please call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And welcome
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Well, this week, this past week, we've seen an unfortunate debate take place in our nation. And I was at the Iowa Prayer Breakfast, and Oz Guinness was the speaker. He spoke on religious liberty, and he noted the comment he made really stood out to me. He said, "We witnessed a ignorant and uninformed debate."
In this country? Never.
In this country. I know. It's amazing.
How can this be?
Anyway, religious liberty takes center stage, and not only does it take center stage, but it's probably because of what happened in Indiana going to be a central part of the 2016, because it's going to be a litmus test for these different candidates. Already you have sides being taken. So far, Ted Cruz has spoken in support of Indiana. Jeb Bush came out pretty early in support, because Jeb Bush actually signed his own Religious Freedom Restoration Act when he was governor of Florida.
Has he walked that support back yet? I'm curious.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of, yeah.
We'll keep our eye on
that. Yeah, there's some things I disagree with Jeb Bush on, and there's other things I think he's pretty good on. So, I don't want to sound like I'm totally down on Jeb Bush. I'm not.
But the guy is squishy as a sponge.
Certain things, I think he is. And let's see, who else? Rick Perry spoke out against it. Scott Walker had an initial statement. I know he sent out an email furthering detailing his support for religious liberty. I'm glad he's for it. As well as Carly Fiorina and almost the entire field. Rick Santorum actually gave a speech at George Washington University and spoke in depth and was asked in depth on this topic and was pretty well received. And then you have responses like Hillary Clinton, who took to Twitter and said, "Sad this new Indiana law can happen in America today. We shouldn't discriminate against people." And she said, "People, PPL, BC, I'm assuming that's not before Christ, because
oh dear,
of who they love." She linked to a Huffington Post piece whose headline said, "Indiana governor signs anti-gay religious freedom bill at private ceremony." Private.
Ooh.
Must be hiding.
Ooh.
Anyway, there's been a firestorm. Liberals gone wild. That'd be the title of this last week. Also, big business gone wild. Emily's List said that they would not expand. They had plans to expand their headquarters in Indianapolis that was going to create like 1,000 some jobs because of Indiana passing this law. The NCAA had doubts about the Final Four taking place in Indianapolis. Other businesses are crying out. Well, and everybody's saying, "Look at the poor gay people. How are you? Why are you discriminating against the poor gay people?"
Well, and then Walmart weighed into the mix here last day or two.
I haven't seen that. What did they say?
Well, that's because this similar thing is happening down in
Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Right. Yep.
So the folks down in Bentonville came in and pressured the governor to veto the bill.
Yes, because Asa Hutchinson is now getting squishy on the Arkansas. So he's sending it back to the legislature. You need to rework this. I'm curious, what kind of clarifying language? Here's what we want to get into. Oh, also, we can't forget the White House. The White House weighed in on this through Josh Ernst, the White House spokesperson.
The brilliant Josh Ernst.
Yes, and actually the outgoing spokesperson, because I think the spokesperson at the Department of State is going to actually be the White House spokesperson starting soon, if it hasn't happened yet. He was talking to George Stephanopoulos.
We will miss the brilliant Josh Ernst.
Yes, but anyway, here is his statement.
Let's get a reaction now from the White House. White House Press Secretary Josh Ernst is here with us this morning as well. And Josh, you just heard the governor there. This is the same law, he says, that Barack Obama signed and voted for as a state senator back in Illinois.
Good morning, George. I appreciate you having me on the show this morning. Look, if you have to go back two decades to try to justify something that you're doing today, it may raise some questions about the wisdom of what you're doing. Look, it should be easy for leaders in this country to stand up and say that it is wrong to discriminate against people just because of who they love. And the fact is, this isn't a political argument, George. As you pointed out in your interview with the governor, we've seen business leaders all across the country say that they're reluctant to do business in Indiana, not because they don't like the people of Indiana, but because of this law, because this law could make it more likely that the customers of those businesses and that the employees of those businesses are now more likely to be discriminated against. So the fact is, you know, Governor Pence is in damage control mode this morning, and he's got some damage to fix.
So does.
Oh, I love it when they just gin up opposition. Okay. Let's break down what Ernest said. Josh Ernest.
I heard him say that, but it's actually Ernst.
Ernst. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so I was pronouncing it right, and George Stephanopoulos was pronouncing it wrong.
Yes.
I loved pronouncing George Stephanopoulos. Anyway.
Sounds like a character from Sesame Street, but just saying.
Anyway, basically the statement, okay, it's kind of telling when you have to go back two decades to make a case, an argument for something you signed. Hillary Clinton made a similar statement. It's sad this new Indiana law could happen in America today. The premise is, we were talking before the show, that truth can, in their minds, evolve.
Yeah, that's exactly where they start.
Here's the thing. The premise, the
truth
right,
evolves over
the foundation
time.
Of religious freedom has not changed. It's part ingrained in its natural law. The founders, they didn't get everything right, but they got this pretty darn right when they wrote the Constitution, and then we had the First Amendment. And here's the thing, folks: you can't have freedom of religion, not the freedom of worship. Freedom of worship means nothing. Even dictators support freedom of worship. You can't have the freedom of religion if you don't have the right to conscience. And this is what this bill is about. It's not about discrimination. It's about, for instance, listen, we've seen situations in various parts of the country where Christians, and by the way, this bill doesn't just defend Christians, okay? I want to be very clear about that. Where Christians faced legal sanction because they say they owned a wedding chapel and declined to host a gay wedding. They owned a bakery and declined the business of baking cake for a gay wedding. They owned a florist shop and they chose not to do a floral arrangement for a gay wedding. They had a photography business and chose not to photograph a gay wedding. You see a theme here? It's not about discriminating against gays. Not it at all. So this stuff, for instance, some things I'm hearing crop up. Sorry if I'm getting this just makes me mad because liberals are lying about this bill. They are being bold-faced liars. This bill does not discriminate. Period. It's not about it's not okaying a restaurant to decline service to a homosexual. It's not saying to an EMT, it's okay that you don't have to treat that homosexual. It's not telling the Department of Transportation, you know what, go ahead and deny that driver's license to that homosexual. It's not saying, landlord, it's okay if you hate gays, you can't, you know, it's okay if you don't rent to them. That is not what this is saying at all. Period. It's about, here's what it's about. This is what it really does. It addresses protection for people of religious faith when they're in the process of say, okay, they file a lawsuit. Say they think, you know, for instance, the city coming against me trying to levy a fine because I don't want to participate in this gay marriage. Okay. Here's three questions that are asked in the process of a lawsuit under RFRA, okay, that at least generally speaking. And I know that in Indiana it also addresses some private civil things too. It's not just government. But first question, does the individual have a sincere belief that it's being burdened substantially? We don't in this country have unlimited, unbridled religious freedom. There are certain things where the government can make a compelling case against and it would be held up in court, okay? For instance, you can sincerely believe it's okay to beat your child And the government's going to say, no, you can't do that. And the courts are rightfully going to support that. And I'm not talking spanking. I'm talking beating, okay? So if the question, the answer to that question, number one, is no, the individual loses, the case is closed. If it's yes, the case moves forward. Second question, does the government have a compelling interest, health or safety, to interfere? If the answer is no, the individual wins, case closed. If it's yes, the case moves forward. Third question, is there a reasonable alternative to serve the public interest? If the answer is no, the individual loses, case closed. If yes, individual wins and the case is closed. Okay? So, you know, if they're doing something that there's absolutely no alternative, then it doesn't, you know, the government has the right to infringe, according to RFRA anyway. So it does not guarantee a victory for religion, but it does guarantee that people who are, they feel like they're being that they're under this onerous standard by the government to have their day in court. That's what it does.
Okay, buddy, but I got a question for you here. After the firestorm occurred, there was obviously a lot of pressure that was put on Governor Pence.
Right.
And he talked about, and so did a lot of other folks from Indiana, Bosma and some other folks. They kept talking about, we've got to get some clarity in the legislation. Now, here's my question.
Well, I'd like to see the language that they're speaking about, but that's obviously key.
I mean, it strikes me, okay, let's say they do the right thing and they clarify the point you just made earlier, which is that you know, basic things like, you know, serving people at a restaurant,
right,
the DOT giving them a driver's license, so on and so forth. Those are things that have nothing to do with the legislation.
Right.
But they do clarify that it does give protections for people who have bakeries, flower shops, bed and breakfasts, and so on.
Right.
Now, my thought is, if he's successful in clarifying those things, I guarantee you that will not be enough.
Oh, probably not.
I mean, because the firestorm is going to continue.
They're not making it because they want Christians to be compelled to do these things. And that's what I want to have an honest discussion, okay? Basically, what this bill does, and I'd like to hear them acknowledge, is it protects people who don't want to be forced to take part in something that's anathema to their faith. You know, the practical effect would be, to use one example, is that a gay couple might have to search around a little bit to find a bakery or a photographer willing to take part in their wedding. They're going to find somebody. There are plenty of people who are okay with that.
Yeah, it's not a matter of a huge burden.
Right.
And that's apparently been very important to the courts.
Right. So, and the thing is, too, where in the Constitution is there a right? I have a right to force a Christian to photograph, to bake a cake, to, you know, rent out space for my gay wedding. That's something that the Bible's very, very abundantly clear. Marriage is between a man and a woman, period. One man, one woman, period. So, you know, if the opponents of this bill really thought it was so horrible, I would make an argument as to why these situations, not the ones, you know, that the bill actually deals with, are not deserving of protection. The ones the bills actually deal with. They're not talking about that. No, they're talking about all these hypothetical things that, you know what, has never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? Yeah. Why do we know this? Because they haven't trudged it out yet. Even they found one pizzeria that says, we will not cater to a gay wedding. I don't know who caters pizza at a gay wedding. But even they said, oh, I have no problem.
Rehearsal dinners and stuff.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true. Even they said, well, we'd have no problem serving homosexuals that come to the restaurant. People get this because, first of all, you know, as Christians, we're to love our neighbor. And part of that's not saying to a homosexual, you know what, get out of my shop. I don't want to deal with you. No.
We'll talk about this a bit more.
I think we need to carry over. This is Captain 8 Thoughts Radio, and I'll try to calm down over the break. We'll see you in a bit.
Good luck with that.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for caffeinated thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website, conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint, without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
You can't believe you messed up so badly. You have asked God to forgive you, but can you forgive yourself? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Kicking yourself for your past sins will not give you the peace you want. The more you dwell on it, the more hopeless your situation will seem. God says that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Having a clean slate should fill a heart with joy. But why do some people hang on to their guilt? Some reasons are a personal lack of victory over sin, pride, bitterness, as well as ignorance of God's teaching on forgiveness. Learning what allows guilt to hang around is critical to applying God's solution for internal peace and joy. We would love to help you experience that. Please call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. I'm calmer. This Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries. Scott Owen, offering biblical counseling and conciliation. Call 515-292-7141 or go to www.crosswalkcounseling.org. Just one of a couple points wanted to bring up before we move on to our news segment or news rundown. One of the reasons why this RFRA bill in Indiana and other states, and by the way, I want to, it seems like Indiana's been picked on, but there are really like 30 states that have either RFRA laws or RFRA-type protections due to a court case or a court decision.
I thought
decision.
It was around 20.
Well, 20 states have RFRA laws. 10 more have RFRA-like protections due to a court decision.
Gotcha.
So, and, you know, think states like Illinois. How about Illinois? Who voted in favor of that bill? President Barack Obama did when he was state senator.
But you see, that's okay because that was then and
that
this
was 20
now.
Years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. Bill Clinton signed the federal RFRA law that the Indiana bill is based off of. Jonah Goldberg, I put this up on my personal blog, ShaneVanderhart.com, because it thought it was hilarious. Hey, MSN, if you're not familiar with Twitter speak, MSN is mainstream media. Hot angle. The Iranian negotiators would never cater a gay wedding, and yet the White House is still trying to do business with them. Rahm Emanuel, mayor of Chicago, is trying to entice businesses to leave Indiana and come to Illinois, even though Illinois has the same stinking bill or law. Connecticut Governor Dan Mallory signed the executive order banning state-funded travel, even though his state has a Religious Freedom Restoration Act. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, New York does not have a Religious Freedom Restoration Act, but get this. Okay. He announced a similar ban to Indiana. No state-funded
traveled to Indiana, even though he's getting ready to travel to Cuba. Okay, let's be clear here. Cuba has no gay marriage, civil unions, or domestic partnerships.
And sure doesn't have RFRA.
No. So, anyway. Yeah, it doesn't have RFRA, so it's okay. Crazy. Well, and there are businesses that are crying out about this Indiana RFRA law, but they do business in Iran who execute homosexuals. The hypocrisy knows no bounds here, okay? So anyway.
Come on, they're leftists with good intentions.
Right.
Worry about that stuff.
Next thing in the news, since this was published on April Fool's Day, I doubted it, okay? But I looked at a video on this story. It was very appropriate that this was announced on April Fool's Day. This was published. Madison, Wisconsin is the first city.
Oh, it sounds like something you'd read in The Onion.
Right. And the first city to pass an ordinance protecting atheists. It's appropriate. This was published on April Fool's Day. You read Psalm 14:1, you know what I'm talking about. It says, the story goes, as the current Common Council met for the last time Tuesday, members unanimously voted to make discriminating against atheism and others who do not believe in God illegal. This is important because I believe it is only fair that we protect religion in all its varieties. We should also, if we protect religion in all of its varieties, we should also protect non-religion from discrimination. It's only fair, ordinance sponsored District 18 Alderwoman Anita Weiner, I'm going to go with that, Weiner, said, the vote amends the city's equal opportunity ordinance, adding atheism as a protected class in the areas of employment, housing, and public accommodations. There are many categories that are protected, Weiner said, and it did occur to me that if religion was, then perhaps the opposite should be. Newsflash to Councilwoman Weiner. The Civil Rights Act, you look at, and state civil rights laws, city ordinances that deal with civil rights, when it lists religion, religious belief, that is also inclusive of atheism. But, oh, okay, give them their own special class. In other news, also probably should have, well, this was also announced on April Fool's Day. Go figure.
It sounds to me like we've moved into and you can't make this stuff
no,
up.
No, no doubt. U.S. Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey indicted on corruption charges. Corruption charges. I'm shocked. Shocked. Anyway, he was indicted on bribery charges on Wednesday in what prosecutors said was a scheme to trade political favors for luxury vacations, golf outings, campaign donations, and expensive flights. Who says being a U.S. Senate doesn't have perks, huh?
One of the issues, though, here, I have seen some news coverage of this particular issue, and the burden on the state here, or the federal government, whoever is involved in making the charge here, the burden's pretty big.
Right.
Because what they have to show is that this was, in fact, corruption as opposed to friendship, because apparently these two guys have been friends going back decades.
Right.
And, you know, so they have to show in court that this went well beyond the bounds of friendship, that there was, you know, a quid and a quo here, and that, you know, services were bought and paid for.
Right.
And it might be a little tough for the government to do that.
Right.
Not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying the burden of proof is pretty pretty tall here.
Yeah. An update on a story we've been kind of tracking this morning too. That, you know, obviously there'll be more information comes out too by the time this program comes out. But in Kenya, more than 70 dead in Kenya university attack, 500 rescued. This is USA Today reporting. More than 70 people were killed and 500 students were rescued Thursday after armed terrorists stormed a university in northern Kenya. At least 79 others were injured. Basically, this was attributed to the Somali-based Islamic terrorist group Al-Shabaab, that claimed responsibility for the attack that began early Thursday morning. AP reports you read saying that.
Yeah, I heard earlier today that AP was reporting, this was very early on, but AP was reporting that some of these gunmen were going in and asking these students, were they Muslim or were they Christian?
Right.
And if they were Christian, they were shot on the spot. And that was what I had heard in a news report who was relaying something that AP was saying. So how verifiable all this is, I can't say. That's what I heard this morning.
Right. So, you know, when we're talking about religious liberty, we need to realize still in the United States that, okay, we're not having to deal with that. And thank God for that. We need to remember to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted around the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So next story is California is really, and we need to pray for California too. They're undergoing yes, I said it, pray for California. I know they're kind of weird, but anyway, they're under, bad, bad drought. California Governor Jerry Brown ordered officials Wednesday to impose statewide mandatory water restrictions for the first time in history as surveyors found the lowest snow level in the Sierra Nevada snowpack in 65 years of record keeping. And I think we're pretty sure what that's probably going to get blamed on.
Global warming.
There you go.
Work. They don't say that anymore.
Yeah.
Climate change.
Standing in a dry brown grass at a site that normally would be snow-covered this time of year, Brown announced that he had signed an executive order requiring the State Water Resource Control Board to implement measures in cities and towns to cut the state's overall usage by 25% compared with 2013 levels. That is 25%. That's huge. The move will affect residents, businesses, farmers. We're going to feel that, guys. Okay, that's going to impact. That's going to impact their agriculture. We're going to see food prices go up.
Most of the food production with respect to produce comes out of, lettuce and so on and
right,
so forth.
Yeah,
comes out of California. So
yeah,
it's going to make a difference.
So we need to pray for rain, literally. Okay. Also, in the Independent United Kingdom says Russia threatens to use nuclear force over Crimea. Oh, we're out of time. Sorry about that, folks. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. I'll just tease you with that. Look it up online. You guys have Google. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
You can't believe you messed up so badly. You have asked God to forgive you, but can you forgive yourself? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Kicking yourself for your past sins will not give you the peace you want. The more you dwell on it, the more hopeless your situation will seem. God says that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Having a clean slate should fill a heart with joy. But why do some people hang on to their guilt? Some reasons are a personal lack of victory over sin, pride, bitterness, as well as ignorance of God's teaching on forgiveness. Learning what allows guilt to hang around is critical to applying God's solution for internal peace and joy. We would love to help you experience that. Please call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website, conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint, without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hey, and welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. The most exciting hour of radio on an early morning Saturday and 6 p.m. on Saturday that you can listen to, right?
If you say so.
Okay.
Anyway. I've heard it described several different ways. I'm not sure I've ever heard it described quite like that, but
I'm breaking new ground here. We wanted to make a note that we want to make sure. I think most people realize we pre-record this, so the Kenya news is going to probably be extremely old when you hear this on Saturday. So we're actually recording a little bit earlier this week because of obligation I have on Friday. This is Thursday. So anyway, we want to make mention of that, and because I love you guys, and I don't want to be a news tease, I am going to share the Russia story with you. Russia threatens to use nuclear force over Crimea and the Baltic states. Russia has threatened to use nuclear force to defend its annexation of Crimea and warned that the same conditions that prompted it to take military action in Ukraine exist in the three Baltic states, all members of NATO. According to notes made by an American at a meeting between Russian generals and U.S. officials and seen by the Times newspaper, Moscow threatened a spectrum of responses from nuclear to non-military if NATO moved more forces in Lithuania, excuse me, I can say that, Latvia and Estonia. The Russians told the meeting, which took place in Germany last month, that an attempt to return Crimea to Ukraine would be met forcefully, including through the use of nuclear force. This is a crazy town speaking. Even the Soviet Union didn't just throw that around. Anyway.
Yeah, but this is our buddy Vlad.
Oh, man.
The world is different.
It is.
You know, you've seen pictures of Vlad running around on the horse with his shirt off.
Right. Well, you know, in some respects, the guy's kind of...
We will nuke you.
Yeah. In some respects, I mean, as far as macho factor, he's got it. Our president wearing mom jeans doesn't. But he's just crazy.
Could be worse. Could be John Kerry wearing that stupid clown hat like he wears, when he's on the ski slopes. Have you seen that? Anyway.
Oh, no, I haven't. I'll have to find that.
All right. And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
All right. This is out of Tampa, Florida. And this is a UPI story. A Florida dad shared a video showing how he removed his eight-year-old son's loose tooth using some string and his Chevrolet Camaro. Robert Abercrombie, who works as a pro wrestler, there's your first clue. His wrestling name is Rob Venomous.
Ooh.
Rob Venomous. He tied one end of a string to his red Camaro and the other end to his son's tooth. For the feat of amateur dentistry, which he shared on YouTube.
I'm going to have to go watch this now.
Oh, yeah. The video shows Abercrombie rev the engine of the muscle car before speeding off, taking the loose tooth with it. The boy's head jerks slightly from the tooth being pulled, but he appeared to enjoy the experience and exclaims, "It came out!" I'm surprised this guy isn't in jail. And can you imagine what would happen if the tooth hadn't come out?
Oh, gosh.
Oh wow. Seriously, this video is going to get this dude in trouble. I guarantee it.
Oh, man.
Okay. Our quote of the day is from Martin Luther. There is no justification without sanctification, no forgiveness without renewal of life, no real faith from which the fruits of new obedience do not grow.
That's so true. Amen. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.